I have it.
That boy like Madea. Let go, Madea.
Tonga by Lord. Blocked by Armstead. Two into the end zone. Caught for the touchdown! Caught for the touchdown! Waddle! Miami has taken the lead!
Back with the f*** I go!
It's two of your favorite degenerates back with another Day One Dolphins episode. Thank you guys for checking back in, and please make sure you send a message out to Ouch Fins YY. He's down on IR right now. We don't know if he's got the Rona, if he's got the swine flu, what it may be. But joining us for the very first time, live in effect, a longtime member of the group chat, OG Dolphins fan original, Queso Peso, aka Nicky Cheeses. Big Nick, how you feeling, dog?
What's going on, guys? Happy to be here with the pod. Been supporting Chief and Ouch since the start. And yeah, man, excited to kind of get into it. There's a lot of things to talk about, to say the least, for this week.
What a great week for you to get your first episode in too, huh? Probably the episode that everybody's pumped for.
Oh man, I got a lot to say.
I mean, we'll just address the elephant in the room. That sucked a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we kind of talked about it, you know, earlier this week, but, you know, it sucked probably more than a lot of the losses that we've experienced with this team. But at the end of the day, like we said, you know, we haven't really heard a lot of slack for it, because I think everyone kind of realizes that there was just so much going on in that game that just put us in some tough positions, and we just could not get it together.
I mean, if people would have been listening to the show, you know, maybe even in the preseason, they might have heard our boy Ouch. He proclaimed many moons ago that this was going to be a trap game. Before there were any injuries, before there was MVP talks, before the season had even kicked off, he called it. And
yeah, man.
If he was here, he would bring up the fact that Vrabel hates us. That is just not anything that we can hide from. He's always hated us. He's always going to bring it. I believe I was at the longest game in NFL history versus the Titans. That's the one that had like three lightning delays, and it was like a 1 o'clock kickoff, didn't end up getting done till about nine. And
oh God,
they kept wanting to smack around that whole time. And the last Titans game was sloppy and weird. They're just a real physical, mean team. And as much as we love our guys, they just don't bode well in these really extra physical, almost dirty matchups, you know?
Yeah, man. I think, you know, with the Titans, they did exactly what any team should do in a game against a high-powered offense like the Dolphins have. They kept it close. They were grinding, gave themselves a chance at the end of the game up until those last couple turnovers and all this stuff. And obviously, we know how it ended. But, you know, you got to give them credit where credit is due. You know, they did what they had to do to pull that game out. And, you know, Vrabel is Vrabel, man. He comes from that system that we all hate as Dolphins fans. And he figured out a way to get squeeze one out.
He's just about the only one to come from that system that's actually working. And he wasn't really ever a coach there. He was just a player there. And he's finding the most success as a coach. But
yeah, man, he brings that mentality he played with to coaching. You know, he's just a tough dude, expects a lot of toughness out of his team. He's a Dan Campbell of sorts. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it is what it is, man.
The way they ran the ball was how I wanted us to play the Eagles, where we knew it was going to be hard to run the ball on them. We knew we wouldn't be averaging no 5.56 a carry, but run the ball anyway. You got to melt the clock against teams like this. You have to have some level of ball control. You got to give your defense a break. Like, there's a million reasons why you run the ball, even if it feels ineffective. And Vrabel stuck to that, whether it was Henry, whether it was Tyjae, they ran the ball. As if they had the lead.
And I got to say, too, like, you know, watching Tyjae earlier in the year and the limited snaps that he's had, I never really developed a respect for him. But seeing the way he ran the ball against us this past week, I mean, you got to like what you're seeing out of him if you're the Titans. Like, real fast, shifty, kind of powerful. You know, he's almost like a quicker, less steps for the run type of Isaiah Pacheco. Like, he's really a nice little talent that they got over there.
It's a genuine 1-2 punch. Everybody talks about having a 1-2 punch with your running game, but Derrick Henry is your right hook, certified banger. Just go ahead and take some of his lunch.
he's your Deontay Wilder punch. He's coming in to knock you out. So
yeah, and then Tajay's just that quickness coming in right underneath. Just whack. As soon as you think you're coming back too, you take a quick two piece, and that's Tajay. Yeah, whether it's out of the backfield catching the ball. So I mean, they really did it with like not a lot of pieces. They didn't do anything crazy impressive. They just stuck to their plan.
Yeah, I think the thing that stands out the most is Tajay's receptions, right? Like 8 targets, 6 receptions, one short of DeAndre, who was the receptions leader for the day for them, and 89 yards, dude. I mean, if you got a guy coming in, like you said, that 1-2 punch, and he can also catch the ball and give you those yards, I mean, what a way to like show up for your team, I got to tell you.
So you mean to tell me that the Titans got 8 targets, 6 catches, and 89 yards out of Tajay Spears, while we got 8 targets, 6 catches for 79 yards out of Jalen Waddle?
Yeah, man. I think, it's pretty evident that when Tyreek Hill isn't in the game, we have no idea what to do on offense. We just turned into the 2016 Dolphins again. It's unbelievable how Mike McDaniels, as talented of an offensive mind as he is, couldn't figure out how to scheme for anybody else in this offense. It was our downfall in that game.
So you're probably seeing all these people on Twitter as well that are just snapping all day long on Tua. Are you more on the this is on Tua, or this is more on McDaniel, like you just said, not being able to scheme up literally anyone else?
Well, I think it's a couple things that people are kind of blaming Tua about, right? Like it was an ugly performance, like at a face level, you know, 0 touchdowns on the day, but, you know, 23 for 33 passing, 240 yards. Like, he was doing his job. But then you start thinking about the fumble in the red zone. He was under pressure 44% of his dropbacks, 5 sacks for 32 yards. That is not going to get it done out of our line. Like, it just, the whole offense looked flat. The line was subpar. The receiving core had really nothing going for them with the offensive plan that we had with Tyreek Hill out of the game.
Nothing.
And yeah, man, it was frustrating to watch.
And even in the few instances where they try to scheme something up for A-Train, I couldn't tell if he's just playing hurt or if he wasn't expecting the ball on some of these plays. He's almost regressing from what we were seeing earlier in the season. It sucks because I don't want to say it's just like that rookie wall that people try to say. I feel like it's more of these little knick-knack injuries that he keeps getting, because every 2 seconds it's an ankle or it's a shoulder or it's something else. And I think it's just slowing his whole game down, which might be affecting the game plan just as much as Tyreek being hurt or the offensive line being in shambles, you know?
Yeah. I mean, with A-Chain too, you have to consider, like, you know, granted he was like a leading like yards per carry guy coming out of Texas A&M, and obviously started this season with a bang. The expectation for him is pretty high, so it feels like that regression could be taking place. But you're right with these injuries, man. Like, you know, here and there, we're, you know, a little tweak here, a little tweak there. You know, it definitely throws us off. But I think overall, like, with A-Chain being in his first year, you have to be excited about what he's able to contribute, even in a flat offense like this. 7 carries for 47 yards. Contributed 5 catches for 24 yards. You know, he's out there doing what he needs to do. I think really, like, when you look at the numbers and you look at, you know, our receiving from this past week, you know, you already kind of touched on it with the Jalen Waddle thing. You know, outside of Jalen Waddle, and obviously Tyreek was out for like half of the game and got 4 receptions for 61 yards. Outside of him, Devon A-Chain was our leading receiver. 5 catches on 9 targets. Cedric Wilson, you know, he was getting a couple nice tosses to him. You know, we were kind of excited with what he might be able to do when it seemed like he was stepping up in that offense, but ultimately finished with 2 receptions on 4 targets for 30 yards. I mean, it's just...
And a pretty big pass interference that didn't come up. That one got us down there. But I really would have liked to have seen Devon keep running underneath that. I don't know if that was a wheel that he ran or a rail or just a straight go, but I feel like week 2, week 3, week 4, Devon is just running underneath that and catching it in stride and scoring, versus like this Devon, I almost didn't expect the ball and kind of slowed down a little bit and then tried to speed back up and then did the whole wave my hand over my head thing that just pisses me off as a receiver's coach. But I don't know. That's kind of me nitpicking. I don't want to dwell on the offense too much. Defensively, I'm not going to say I hated what I saw out of Duke Riley and David Long. We did a pretty good job of holding Derrick Henry. I mean, he averaged 2 yards a carry. He never really broke any big ones. Yeah, their longest run was 11 yards, and that was Levis. So
right.
I really can't be mad at them. I am shocked that we only sacked him one time. This is a guy that came into the game. Both quarterbacks, him and converted Texas A&M quarterback, wide receiver, Ryan Daniel, both of them have been sacked so many times that I'm like, this is stat padding, you know?
And yeah, man.
Nope.
Yeah, I think, you know, up until the last few minutes of the game, you know, the defense and special teams were what showed up for us. You know, it's maybe the stats didn't look that great, but, you know, when it comes to getting that W in the W column, like, we were doing everything we needed to on defense up until those last two drives. We were, you know, scoring touchdowns. Shout out to freaking Van Ginkle for, you know, getting in there. Oh, I'm sorry. It was Sealer.
Yeah.
Sorry.
A lot of white guy.
But shout out to Sealer, man. The interception and double coverage off the line. Yeah, man. And then obviously the muff punt helped us out. But, you know, if it weren't for those big plays, this could have been a lot uglier than it was on the scoreboard. So, you know, I think kind of like we were talking about before, like, is this on Tua? Is this on, you know, something else? I think we really got to take a look at this coaching staff for, you know, dealing with adversity and figuring out ways to win these ball games. If we want to be a true playoff team, a true Super Bowl contender, these are the games that we cannot drop like that. So
yeah, you got to turn it on at the end, like they turned it on at the end of the Chargers and the end of the Patriots, when we kind of just had to seal the deal and just show you guys that this game is over. And there was none of that. And I know we all miss Jalen Phillips, but it's really starting to feel like Bradley Chubb misses Jalen Phillips the most. He went from literally dancing and just having fun every single play to throwing his helmet because he didn't get a sack. I think if he had his boy out there on the sideline hitting some dances with him, hitting his handshakes, getting a little bit more at home with Lil Bro, you know, I can tell it's starting to get to him. But, like,
I mean, the pressure is definitely on him. You're right about that. Like, and, you know, we're paying this guy good money to, like, show up and do what he's been doing the rest of his career. And I think there was even earlier in the season some frustration with, you know, Chubb's ability to, like, make an impact on this team. But, you know, he's really in that position right now. It's like, hey, man, it's time to step up. You know, the guys that are coming in behind Phillips here and contributing on defense, they're playing well. You know, they're doing what they're supposed to do as guys that are supposed to come in and just make, you know, whatever impact they can. Yeah. But when we're looking for a leader, Chubb, you got to show up, my man. And when you miss a sack and you're mad at yourself, wait till you get to the sideline to throw your helmet. Please. Break the helmet off on the bench. Throw it at a trainer. I don't care, man. Get it off the field.
He can hit me if it with wasn't, it.
Right. If it wasn't
in the head.
If it wasn't for that penalty, we'd have been in a way better position on that drive where the Titans first scored. I mean, talk about stupid penalties, talk about stupid mistakes and leading to, you know, tougher situations for the team. I mean, that really put us in a hole that ended up costing us at the end of the game.
I mean, we lost by 1 point.
Yep.
If that's a 4-point swing minimum. If they missed the field goal, it's a 6-point swing.
Like, yep. And I think the other thing that we have to kind of look at, too, when we're looking at the score is that Jason Sanders missed field goal.
Again, if Ouch was here, he would say we should have sacrificed Jason Sanders to the football gods 2 years ago. And he's so sick of even talking about that man. I almost expect him to miss one a game, you know?
Yep.
We should account for that as fans and just not expect him to make all of them. It sucks to watch this dude, Brandon Aubrey, just bang 59 yarders over and over again. As long as you're near the logo, he can probably make it. We've seen Justin Tucker do it to us for years, and we're not even good from like 50. 45 is getting sketchy.
Yeah. I mean, dude, you talk about front offices and like putting teams in the position to win. It blows my mind that Jason Sanders is still on this roster. Like, Whatever. One missed field goal. Okay, we should be able to overcome that. We shouldn't be put in the position where Jason Sanders is like the difference maker between a win and a loss. But, dude, I mean, get this guy away from me.
get him out of here.
Send him to the Pats. Send him to anybody else, but just get him off my team. I mean, people are literally calling up kids that were selling software and playing soccer 2 years ago, and they're kicking, like you said, Brandon Aubrey, as if he's a league leader. I mean,
he is. Yeah, he's barely missed.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
And it's you could say he cost us the game, because in a 1 point loss, every point counts. That's three. That makes it that much harder for them at the end, or that much easier for us play calling and whatever else at the end. But I think one of the biggest things that nobody wants to talk about with this game is that behind Javon Holland is this guy, Brandon Jones, who we like. We don't hate him. Mm-hmm. It's not his fault that all these things keep happening. But there is such a decline with our entire secondary every single time Holland isn't on the field. Brandon Jones is straight up just hurting our players.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's what there it is, dude.
Two or three times where I thought X was a goner because of this guy. I mean, on the stat sheet, you know, 7 tackles, total tackles, 5 solo. Like, the only reason he's getting these tackles on the stat sheet is because they're targeting the guy. You know what I mean? Like,
he's coming down and making plays. I'll give it to him. He is very aggressive. And the game before, when he hurt Jerome, he stopped that play from getting into the end zone. He got it knocked out at the one, you know? It's just so dumb, man. Lift your eyes up. Look.
Yeah. I mean, I think that speaks volumes about the level of player Javon Holland is. And like you said, when he's out of the game, you can tell on defense. It's almost like having Tyreek out on offense.
It's the same impact. You know? The same impact. X and Jalen Ramsey are two of the best in the league. You could say that we have two top 10 corners. And they do not play like that when it's Deshaun Elliott and Brandon Jones.
Yep.
At one point, I'm thinking about it right now, at one point it wasn't even Deshaun Elliott. It was Elijah Campbell for a little while because Elliott was out.
Yeah, man. And, I mean, like you said, you know, when the snowman is in the game, X and Jalen, their jobs become a whole lot simpler. There's way less for them to worry about, think about, account for. You know that guy is standing behind you, ready to like lay the wood if he needs to, go drop into coverage, make a play. I mean, the kid is.
They'll take out the quarterback one on one in the open field.
Yeah, I mean, the kid is literally, I think, my favorite safety since like the Marion days.
I'd say he's my favorite since G5. I really like Rashad.
Oh yeah, that's a good call too. I'm not gonna lie. But yeah. Man, we need to get our guys healthy. Like, looking at the injury report for this week, I mean, half of our starting roster is questionable, non-participants in practice, which, you know, sometimes is, you know, they just do it to give them some rest and get some fresher legs and whatnot. But I mean, the injuries are stacking up, and we can't be banged up going to the playoffs, especially now that we've put ourselves in the position where we need to win on Sunday.
Yeah, so let's talk about it. That's a good transition. We play on Sunday against a team that the last time we played them, it was another primetime game. It was a little sloppy at the beginning there, but who went ahead and made a once-in-a-lifetime play right before the half to kind of set the tempo for the rest of the game?
Mm-hmm.
Snowman.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how good Zach Wilson's looking. If our secondary is fully intact with Javon out there, with the rest of them out there, I think Duke Riley's playing well enough. I think Andrew Van Ginkle has stepped up well enough in place of Jalen that this is winnable. I'm not going to get all horny like I was last week talking about how this is a smash spot. It should be a smash spot. This past week could have been a smash spot if we had, you know, called some things a little bit differently. And the turnover. We won the turnover battle. Like,
yeah, man.
They gave us the ball in so many opportunities, and it's like we just pissed down our legs so fast. But we can't afford to do that this week. We're playing a Jets team that just hung 30 points on a hot Texans team. Very hot Texans team pushing for playoffs. And I'm going to be real. I was watching that whole game while I was working. The Jets were dogging them. start to finish. Like, it was 0-0 for a good little portion, and the Jets scored a little, and the Jets scored a little more. And then when Stroud went out, it was over. It was ugly.
Yeah, man. I mean, you can't underestimate that defense by any means. Stout defense, great players that they got together in the last few years to put that defense together. And yeah, man, I mean, I think it really comes down to, like, A, are we healthy enough to be effective against that defense? And then B, you know, you really got to consider New York and their quarterback situation. Is what Zach Wilson are we getting on Sunday? Are we getting 2-3 picks Wilson, or are we getting the guy that's throwing 2 or 3 tutties?
Are we getting 300 yards and 2 touchdowns Zach Wilson, bro?
Dude, I mean, if there wasn't already kind of the understated pressure on this game just with the absolute hatred we have for the New York Jets and them being in our division and always those December games and all that stuff, like, with this loss that we had against Tennessee this past week, I mean, we do not want to have to put the pressure on us for Baltimore, Buffalo for the last two games of the season. This is an absolute need for win. Like, questions asked.
You're calling it a must win.
100%. Like, and I think McDaniels is going to really frame this game in that perspective for the team this week. Like, when you're looking at the rest of our schedule with, you know, obviously Jets on Sunday, then Dallas, then Baltimore, then Buffalo, like, we don't even want to have to put ourselves in the position where here we are again, last two games of the season, this has got to happen and we got to do that. Like, that should not even be this team is too good to put ourselves in that position on paper and on what we've seen, like, in game. We have to win on Sunday. No questions asked.
Yeah, bro. Because there's only a few games left. But with us being 3-1 in the division and Buffalo being 2-2, this loss puts us at 3-2. And we have Buffalo. So Buffalo still has a chance. Say we lose this game.
And like we've talked about over and over again, you never give Josh Stankin' Allen and the damn Buffalo Bills a chance in December.
Never. Never. Bro. Never. Never.
Yeah.
So you win this game, that puts us 4-1 in the division, 10 wins, chilling. We win, and then Buffalo drops it. That'll put them at, 7 losses to our 4 with 3 games remaining. So the best they could do is tie our record with a worse divisional record. Deal. Deal.
Yep.
But again, I don't like to risk anything or gamble on the Bills losing, because as we just saw, the NFL does not want the Bills losing. They want them winning, and they want them in the playoffs.
Yeah, man. And I think it can't be overlooked, too, like the league and its weird relationship with the Dolphins. And I think, like, what they believe to be a marketable team and someone they can sell tickets with and all this stuff, because what we saw on that last drive with that penalty on the shift this past week felt a lot like the league being like, hey, we don't know about these guys.
You know what, like, that felt like? And I know it's not as intense, but it's a similar situation. The Ohio State flag.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like, I just straight up do not want his team to win.
Just objectively a terrible call. They don't want us to win, and they want to see what we're going to do about it.
Literally. And you sent that thing with J.J. Watt earlier. He was going ham just speaking on everything that we have said. We don't have as big of a voice as he does. But for him to go out there and say, like, no, this is disgusting. This is terrible. This is not right. Like, this is clear highway robbery. Like,
he tweeted it live during the game. He was like, did the defense really just get called for a shift? Like, he was watching the game and couldn't believe it. And then what he said on Pat McAfee yesterday, talking about the more he watches it, the more mad he gets. I mean, and the guy backed it up with facts. You know, you see these shifts all the time. He said he's been playing football my whole life. Never once have I seen a call like that. And if they're talking about sudden movements causing a delay of game and all this stuff, linebackers come up and stunt all the time, flexing a blitz. They come up, they slap people, they do all this. To call a delay of game penalty on a horizontal shift on the D-line, which is a standard move, is unbelievable.
with no linebackers moving, no safety came down in the box. It was literally just them shifting over like somebody moved them over in Madden.
Yeah, man. And when you look at the tape, the entire Tennessee line puts their heads down because they know they fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, they know that they were the ones that were at fault in that situation. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, this referee goes and consults with his little boys in stripes and comes back and says, penalty on the defense. I mean, it was one of the most outrageous things I have ever seen out of a referee, outside of maybe that one, what was that deep ball? I think it was like the Saints and the Rams a few years back.
Oh, no, when he hit stick the receiver.
Hit stick buddy on the sideline, and the ball was still 5 feet ahead of him in the air. Like, it felt like that. It felt like it was like, there's just no way this happens. And then you expect New York to, like, intervene in these situations because obviously there's big implications on that call, but nope. Like,
oh, they intervened. They called it and said, good job. Yeah. You nailed it.
Yeah, I mean, talk about just a stamp on a stinky loss, bro. Like, it was just.
But knowing that that's the kind of situation that we find ourselves in, knowing that we played in the first game in almost 100 years where one team didn't get a single flag, McDaniels should know that you need to almost like call as perfect of a game as you can. And in certain down and distances, you know, like first and goal, second and goal, third and goal, if they barely have any defensive linemen lined up because they feel like you're going to pass, check to a run. Just yep. Run the ball the whole time anyway. We started using a little bit more power eye and like some old school, like almost multi-back formations. Some of them almost looked like wing tees where we had like a jet flowing by and then somebody else is like in tight off the tight end, like... really cool bunch formations where you can run some full house power stuff. And we use that on like the 45 and then line up in a spread on the goal line. Like,
yeah,
we need to play. I know we're not a old school team. We play a more modern style of game, but if we could get some of that old school in our bag for times like that, it would be really useful playing against teams and the officials and the league and like everybody else, you know? Help ourselves.
Yeah. I think you said something that really like kind of brought back a moment in the game to my attention was when we did start going into those old school sets and putting in Ingold to block in like a true fullback scenario. I mean, it was kind of refreshing to see that like diversification when it comes to our run game, which I feel like with A-Chain and Mostert is pretty similar and pretty standard within our offense. Mm-hmm. But to see Engel getting in there, getting some blocks and, you know, showing a different side of what our run game could do, I thought was pretty refreshing to see. Granted, you know, how terrible the game went, you know, we get that. But to see Engel getting in there and doing some work was, I liked seeing it. And the other point that you made about, you know, the league and the way they handle the Dolphins and like, you know, this kind of flags and the general resistance we kind of feel from the refereeing crews in our games this year, mm-hmm. especially the big ones that we've lost, that all speaks to why Sunday is all that more important. Because if we're in a tight game with Dallas, if we're in a tight game with Baltimore, if we're in a tight game with Buffalo, we already know where those flags are going.
Dog.
We do not want to do that.
Don't even put your hands up. Don't even look at coach. Y'all know what time it is. Time it is, bro.
Like, and you know, shout out to Ouch for calling out this kind of like trap game, this loss that we would take here. Coming off, you know, two really strong performances against the Jets in New York and against the Commanders in Washington. You know, Tennessee found a way to win this game through all possible adversity, it feels like. If mm-hmm. I was a Tennessee fan watching that game, like, I mean, the same way that we feel about the loss is probably how they felt times two about the first three and a half quarters of that game.
I already ordered my Will Levis jersey if I'm a Titans fan, if I didn't already have one. I'm sold. Like, that's the key of the future, dog.
Yeah, I mean, Will Levis definitely seems like a promising prospect for them. I don't really see how many years is left on Tannehill's contract over there.
It doesn't matter.
Because he's on his way out one way or the other.
It doesn't matter, dude. Did you just see that game?
Yeah.
Tannehill in, what, 6 years with us? I think he might have done something like that maybe once. And one of them was because the Patriots decided to put Gronk back at safety.
And I mean, you talk about that team too, like with Tannehill, like technically, I don't know, whatever, being QB1, QB2. I mean, Will Levis got it done with Derrick Henry getting 34 yards. And outside of Hopkins and Ty J Spears, their next leading receiver was Chigozie Okonkwo.
Big Chig.
Like, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine and Treylon Burks combined for three other catches for 29 yards. I mean, they were.
And we lost, brother. And we're getting ready to suit it up with Brees, Garrett Wilson. They just Randall Cobb scored a touchdown this past week.
Yep.
Randall Cobb.
Yep.
They had Xavier Gibson, the kid from Hard Knocks, in the summer. He scored on an end around.
Yeah, man. I mean, we've all known that New York has put together a pretty nice team on paper. The thing that hurt them the most of the season, obviously Aaron Rodgers going down within the first 5 minutes of, you know, the season, but you know, that team with a solid quarterback at the helm is not a team we want to see in December either.
So what do you think in your heart? Do you think we get a good 300 plus yard Zach Wilson this week, or do we get Zach Wilson coming back to reality and getting stuffed?
Honestly, man, it's such a 50-50 call, but if I had to kind of guess, I feel like he puts up the yards. I think he goes off and like puts up some yards against our defense, especially with the injuries we'd have to consider. But you know, really our defense is going to need to capitalize on any mistakes that he will inevitably make.
Yep.
If we don't capitalize on those mistakes, it's going to be a close game. But if we do what we're supposed to do, we should win by a healthy margin.
Yeah. This one's on the secondary. In my opinion, they got to jump on a couple. They got to go get me like two. And then we need a big Tua bounce back game, regardless of Cheetah, regardless of Jalen Waddle, regardless of anybody. He's had big games throwing to, I guess I would say, I don't want to use the word inferior, but not as talented players. At one point, Mike Gesicki was the best receiver on the team with Lynn Bowden and Mac Hollins running around, and Tua could still put up 300 yards. So
100%. And I think really for Tua, the thing with this game is, you know, we even had Micah Parsons talking this week about how Tua is more of a game manager than a game changer. And if I'm Tua and I took my team to 9-4, whatever, we put this loss behind us and we're focused on these next four games. I mean, this is the time, man. Strap up the helmet, strap that chin strap up, and start throwing some ropes, dude. I mean, we really need to get ourselves confident enough in these four games where we can go into the playoffs feeling good. Because even if we do win on Sunday and the pressure is a little bit more off our back with Dallas, Baltimore, and Buffalo, Tua as a quarterback and as a talent in this league, this is a perfect opportunity to prove that we weren't just a fluke. We weren't just a team that could only beat sub 500 teams. I mean, this is about as important of a win for Tua in his career as any other.
You need it. This team has nothing to lose, nothing really to play for. You need it, big dog. You got to shut some stuff up and get some stuff out the way.
And if Micah, you know,
go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry about that.
Nah, if Micah wants to be a tough guy, if you're listening, Micah, big fan of your game, but I'd like you to watch the replay with me. Maybe we can run the all 22 of Tua versus Baltimore last year in Baltimore. Because if that's what you consider game managing when he hung six touchdowns on them and pushed like 4 2-minute drives down their throat, cool. But I don't think that's game managing the way that he was slinging it that game specifically and how he's had to sling it, maybe even the Chargers game earlier this year. So I don't agree with the game manager thing, but everyone's entitled to their own opinion. I'm just really excited for this Cowboys game because Micah keeps talking. Tyreek was saying earlier in the season he was going to crack back him. I think he's going to. Bro, he's going to catch him on one of them toss cracks, guaranteed.
Yeah, I think they're, you know, looking forward past the Jets. You know, that Dallas game is really exciting. You know, Baltimore and Buffalo, while definitely respectable teams, definitely teams that we have to look at on our schedule and we account for the playmakers that they have. Dallas, I feel like, is just about as fair of a matchup or as talented of a matchup that we could possibly see, even going into these playoffs. Like, if we can show that we can handle Dallas, you know, as balanced of a team as they are, offense, defense, skill positions, quarterback, running game, even with Tony Pollard, like, looking solid, like, you know, that's a statement win. But it all starts with getting it done on Sunday.
The Cowboys one also doesn't feel as stressful as the Buffalo and Baltimore ones because it's just an NFC team. It's almost more fun. Even though it's not going to be fun, it's going to be stressful and it's going to be like a big game. But it's like, dang, that's Christmas Eve. There's Dallas, CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, man.
That's going to be tight. But those other two aren't tight. Those other two are for like the one seed, you know? If we lose Dallas, Baltimore's probably not for the one seed, you know? But if we win it, whole lot different. But like you said, it starts this week. We got to handle Zach Wilson. I mean, I'll pull up our score predictions from the beginning of the season, but off the top of your head, regardless of how Zach Wilson does, what do you got for this game?
Oof. Well,
whether it's good Zach, bad Zach, or in between.
Good Zach, I think Zach throws for 250 easy with potentially a couple tutties in there, but I also expect he throws a couple picks. So that's really going to be my projection for him.
All right. So Ouch, who correctly called last week as a trap game with a 21-17 loss to the Titans. I thought we were going to win 30-13. He actually called this as a loss as well. He has us going on a three-game slide right here, losing to Tennessee, New York, and Dallas, and then beating Baltimore and Buffalo.
Yeah, I mean, I hope he's wrong about this three-game stretch.
Me too. But
I mean, if you really think about it, these next 4 weeks, we can go from a one seed in the AFC to a fringe wild card team. So, I mean, we got to get it done, man. I don't know if this fan base can handle a letdown like this after being projected 97% to be into the playoffs and, you know, with a 37%, I think, chance to take the one seed, you know, it's a lot of pressure.
Nope, we're good. I was feeling negative like that earlier in the week. We got it out of our system. We live with it. We're cool. Now, at the beginning of the season, I wasn't really sure how either team was going to be looking at this point. I just knew this was going to be a slobber knocker. So I got it as a 10-7 win by us. Very low scoring. Just an ugly back and forth, just stupid game that pisses me off. And it could be that, but I don't know.
If I had to guess a score for this game, I think it'll be like a 17-10 type of matchup. It'll be, you know, some plays get made on some mistakes by our defense. We'll probably, you know, make a couple things happen. But yeah, I don't like us to beat New York like we beat them just a couple weeks ago.
Nah.
I think it's going to be a nail biter. Jets fans are salivating at the opportunity to put us in a really tough position, and those players on that sideline know it.
They're pumped. All they want to do is ruin our season. They hate us so much, and I get it. If the shoe's on the other foot, I would be doing the same exact thing. I hate y'all too. Them ugly jerseys, y'all ugly, man. I don't care. But yo, fire episode. Make sure they follow you on Twitter. What's your Twitter handle if you want them to find you?
I honestly am not sure, but honestly, I'll use this opportunity to just plug the pod. Follow the pod, throw a like, throw a little subscribe.
Hey.
Support the boys.
Hey, we could use them 5-star reviews on Spotify, Apple Music, all that stuff. But yeah, follow the Twitter at Day One Dolphins. Follow the boys at YFinsYY. Make sure you send him a get well soon card and follow me at Chief Sut. But Yeah, no fins for the win this week, but we come in. See y'all boys after this.
Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, 'cause we're the Miami Dolphins. Miami.